back to California. So many good things around. Don't wanna leave California. Sun seems to never go down.
Welcome back to the City Journal California podcast. I am Ben Boychuk, associate editor of City Journal magazine. And joining me for this edition is Stephen Ide. He is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute's Center for State and Local Leadership and author of a new study just out, particularly relevant to the upcoming elections in California. It's called Reform Before Revenue: How to Fix California's Retiree Healthcare Problem. Steve Ide, welcome.
Thanks, Ben.
The report is the third in a series that the Manhattan Institute has been publishing on matters of particular relevance to California. And this report includes an abbreviation, an acronym of sorts, OPEB, which sounds like OPEC has a cold, but that's not really what that is. Tell us what OPEB is. It needs to be a household term.
Yeah, that's right. Well, retiree health care is the focus of this report. That can be something of a mouthful. So in the trade, the term OPEB is used. It's an acronym for other post-employment benefits, meaning other than pensions. Pensions, as you know, has absorbed a considerable degree of public debate, public attention, public scrutiny over the past 3 years. But what this report is trying to say is that pensions are not the only long-term liability problem that state and local governments in California are facing. They also face another very significant problem with retiree health care liabilities.
When we talk about pensions and unfunded liabilities with pensions, we hear numbers in the range of upwards of $500 billion, I mean, depending on who you ask. But we don't talk too much about the health care component or the liabilities there. What kind of numbers are we talking about in that realm?
Well, nationwide, because this is not just a California problem, but a problem for state and local government nationwide, the pension liability estimates, as you say, can range from $1 trillion to $3 trillion for their unfunded liabilities. I would say the best OPEB liability, retiree health care liability estimate, is $1 trillion, sort of towards the lower end of that. As far as California itself goes, we're talking about an unfunded OPEB liability of over $130 billion. And then pension liabilities, because they vary so much, as you know, can be also around $150 billion to over $600 billion. So there's less variation with the retiree health care liabilities, but it's still a very significant problem.
We also, I would imagine, we want to talk about these liabilities in the context of different localities. I mean, of course, the city of Stockton in Northern California has declared bankruptcy recently. The city of San Bernardino has declared bankruptcy, and there are various reports suggesting that other cities are going to declare bankruptcy very soon. I don't think it's that hard to imagine that ballooning health care costs are driving a lot of these cities into Chapter 9. What's your take on that? How do you assess that?
Yeah, well, the easiest way to assess that issue is just look at what the cities themselves have been doing in bankruptcy and what the cities themselves have been saying about why they went into bankruptcy.
Right.
They have all said that these skyrocketing costs were a factor why they had run out of money and needed to seek extraordinary measures to bring revenues in line with expenditures. Because what you have going on here is you have this baby boom retirement wave that is hitting at the same time that healthcare costs are unchecked. So you have that sort of combined effect of those two things, and it's seeing a direct hit in city budgets. And so it's just going up and up and up every year, and they're struggling to keep up.
One of the things that Stockton decided not to do was fully address the pension problem in its bankruptcy. What the city officials said was, we can't take on the state pension fund. They didn't want to be dragged into court. They didn't really have the money to go to court. Is the danger that even with bankruptcy, that some of these cities just aren't going to address their health care liabilities? Is this something that bankruptcy may or may not help? And this will seg to, of course, your policy solutions, but I'm just kind of curious if you think that bankruptcy is a real option here, if it's something that even there that city officials will kind of shy away from doing some of the harder decisions.
This is a very important point. But first of all, I should emphasize that it's not just bankrupt cities that have a problem with retiree health care costs. Even wealthy cities are having to reduce their workforces to pay for these liabilities. But yes, the way that these cities, San Bernardino, Vallejo, and Stockton, have dealt with pensions has been very different from how they dealt with retiree health care liabilities. all of them have turned directly to reducing retiree health care liabilities in bankruptcy and using the bankruptcy process to get out of these commitments. They've been much more wary about addressing pensions, and there are a couple of reasons for that. One reason that people often bring up is the influence of CalPERS and the threats that CalPERS has directed at them. It's also the case that the legality of retiree health care is very different from the legality of pensions. Pensions enjoy these very strong legal protections that at least the conventional wisdom is that you can't touch them even for current employees, much less retirees. And that's not necessarily the case with retiree health care. And we have seen cities, and not only in bankruptcy, but just through simply local ordinances passing laws, getting out of their reducing benefits for retirees because of the concern of the long-term growth in these costs.
Let's talk about policy solutions then. You lay out four possible policy solutions in the paper. I want to break them down one by one. First one, you say, California state and local governments should reassess the need to offer OPEB. Elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, well, one of the things we try to do in this report is be positive and be encouraging. Yes, these numbers are daunting, but there's a real window of opportunity here. These retiree health care liabilities, there aren't really OPEB systems like they are pension systems. They're still in this kind of undeveloped, inchoate stage. So that's an opportunity to get it right, to define the terms of these arrangements, these benefit arrangements, while you still have the chance, and not lock yourself into unsustainable benefit commitments like happened with pensions. Let's learn from the experience of pensions. A question that every local government has to ask itself is, why are we in this business? Increasingly, we are seeing private sector employees get rid of these benefits, get out of the business of retiree health care. State and local governments, they're holding much more firm. So if it's the case that what you're trying to do with retirement benefits is attract and retain qualified workforce, it's very unclear that you need to provide the sort of benefit to compete with private sector employers.
Are there any examples that you mentioned in the paper of cities that may have limited or no retiree health benefits at all?
Yes, there are actually. I looked at the 50 of the biggest cities in California, and what you see is a range of different benefit packages. Again, they're encouraging signs. Some cities like Fresno just declined to ever let their benefits get very generous, and thus their long-term liability is much smaller than other cities. Other cities, were offering generous benefits but have cut them back, and Orange County is a fairly high-profile case of that. Escondido and Ventura are examples of two large cities which offer literally nothing in the way of retiree health care benefits. It's not unprecedented. I mean, you can still attract workers. You can still get people to work for city government without offering these types of benefits.
Your second policy solution is very simply, think hybrid. How does one think hybrid in this case?
A hybrid plan for retirement benefits, whether you're talking about pensions or retiree health care, is in which you offer a small, scaled-down, defined benefit portion, so a certain type of benefit that the employer guarantees to retirees, and then a defined contribution benefit for which the employer is not liable. So somewhat like a 401k plan stacked on top of a smaller defined benefit plan. We've seen this in the case of pensions. San Jose, Rhode Island, and Utah state governments have all moved towards a hybrid model for pensions. Still provide retirees with some measure of retirement security, but the liability of taxpayers and the governments have been scaled way back. There's no reason why this couldn't work for OPEB, for retiree health care. State and local governments are large employers. They do have the ability to manage certain costs, certain benefit packages that smaller employers don't. And this is something that some governments have been experimenting with and have had some success with, and I think that more governments should think about going in this direction.
Your third solution is raise revenues and begin pre-funding. That one I imagine might be a little bit controversial with certain public employee unions, maybe, but tell us a little bit about how that might work.
Yes, well, the big important difference between OPEB and pensions is that pensions are pre-funded. For a number of decades, cities have been putting aside at least something for pensions for these future costs and then investing them. And so now, at this point there, you'll find many systems are 70% funded, 80% funded. That's not terrific. We still have this pension problem, but at least you're not paying for benefits directly out of your current budget. retiree health care, in many cases, nothing has been set aside. So you're paying for current retirees' health care directly out of the operating budget. I mean, the money that taxpayers thought they were putting towards services like public education, public works, right now, they're actually paying for services that these retired employees delivered decades ago. So it's a crazy situation. And for that reason, many policy reports that have addressed the OPEB issues have focused very carefully on the funding issue, the need to get to funding. They're right, but the title of this report is Reform Before Revenue. Yes, we will need to find more revenues. We need to pre-fund, but first we need to enact some reforms to make sure we're not throwing good money after bad. And if you do want to raise revenues, an obvious case for that would be tap into current employees who in many cases are not contributing anything for their retiree health care benefits before you look towards, you know, service cuts or increased taxes to pay for these benefits.
Now, that's a very we should maybe underscore that last point, because in the arguments Governor Jerry Brown is making for his ballot measure Proposition 30, which would increase taxes on upper income earners and would also raise the sales tax, all supposedly temporarily. The public campaign is to help fund education, but within the depths of all of this is discussion about the need to backfill retiree costs and pensions and so forth, and that the bulk of the revenue that some of these proposals would supposedly raise wouldn't go into classrooms necessarily. It would go to pensions and benefits.
Yes. I mean, Proposition 30, also Proposition 38, did, you know, they tried to put in place spending protections to make sure that, or to try to make sure that these revenues would go towards their stated purpose. But as you know, budgets are very fungible things. And if these benefit costs are not under control, if they have not been reformed in California, although it did pass pension reform legislation, still has an unreformed pension system and certainly unreformed retiree health care program, then there's a real danger that those revenues, one way or the other, are going to go towards backfilling pensions and retiree health care. Look, no one is coming out and directly saying, let's raise taxes to pay for pensions or let's raise taxes to pay for retiree health care.
Of course not. No one would ever vote for it. Right.
But, you know, if you look carefully at the way that, you know, special funds can be used and the failure to, you know, protect and isolate revenue sources from one another, this is a very serious danger.
So your fourth and final policy solution, state governments should provide local governments greater bargaining leverage for OPEB. That sounds like a very sensible idea. How would that work? How do you imagine that working?
Well, the one good thing you can say about the recent pension reform legislation that was just passed was it set a benchmark standard of 50-50 split for pension benefits between employer and employee. Employees are now need to pay 50% of the actuarial cost of their pension benefits in retirement. In cases in which employees are not currently paying for that, this will have to be negotiated with city government, and it's within a certain time frame. But if they fail to reach that agreement by at the end of the time frame, then the government has the right to enact that. So it enhanced bargaining leverage for pensions. There's no reason why not to do the same thing for retiree health care. Same issue. Employees need to start contributing. This is the only way that we'll be able to set up these commitments in a sustainable manner. And since it was seemed to be politically feasible to do this with pensions, why not try for retiree health care?
Well, that is the question that I think Californians who are going to be going to the polls very soon should probably ponder a little bit. It may not be in the forefront of their minds, but it should be on their minds somewhere. The name of the paper, again, is Reform Before Revenue, How to Fix California's Retiree Healthcare Problem. And the author is Stephen Ide. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
You can download the report, by the way, at www.manhattan-institute.org. And check us out online, www.city-journal.org. You can also find us on Twitter at City Journal, one word, and on Facebook, facebook.com/City Journal. For City Journal and City Journal California, I'm Ben Boychuk. Be well.